Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Lamed. Ooh, we're getting close to the end here. We're up to the 19th perek, Rabbi Eliezer de Mila, and let us start at the beginning of the Halakha Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Im lo yivi kli me'erev Shabbat, mivio mishum b'Shabbat, and you have to make sure that it's migule. So let's say you forgot to bring the knife. To do the scalpel, to do the mila with. And now it's Shabbos, and you're going to have to carry it. So what do you do? The other shita is, anything that's necessary to do for the mila, that's called machshire mitzvah, and that even machshire mila are dochas haShabbos. So because of that, you just carry it. But you make sure that everybody sees what you're carrying, so that way they'll understand that this is the tzorach mitzvah, and that, of course, he's not carrying something that he's doing for himself. He's doing this because the Torah told him to do it. Now, how about if there is a gezirat hamalchut against Mila, in which case you would not want to uncover it openly because you can get into trouble. So then you do bring it hidden, but you make sure that you have witnesses that will say that it is actually a Mila knife, because if anybody starts saying, you know, I saw him carrying on Shabbos, no. Joe and George saw it. It was a Mila knife. He was only going to do a mitzvah. The Yod Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer took this a lot further. And he said, Kortim etzim lasot pchamim lasot barzal. Look, doesn't matter how many stages we're talking about of needing to do a malacha in order to do another malacha, Good heavens. So let's say you don't have a knife. You don't own a knife. There's no knives available. Okay, so cut down a tree. What are you going to do with a tree? You'll burn the tree. You'll turn it into charcoal. If you've got charcoal, now you can make a fire to be able to melt iron. You make a steel. Then you can make a knife. Doesn't matter how many stages before the actual mila we're talking about. No matter how far it is, it's machshirei mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no. The klal is simply this. Kol melacha she'efshar la'asota mi'erev Shabbat, eino dochat haShabbat. Anything that could have been done before. Obviously, the only thing that you can't do before is the actual mila. So the mila per se is the thing that's dochas haShabbos. That's the mila she'ev shalah sota mirav Shabbat. That is docha. Now, note that Rabbi Eliezer gave us two options. Either we bring the knife in the open, or we bring the knife with witnesses. But he says b'sha'at sakana. So, I mean, does that mean that it's actually more important to bring the knife in the open than to have it in your pocket? And what would be the reason for that? Well, l'chol, the reason would be because of chivuv mitzvah. In other words, you want to show that this is such a chashuv mitzvah and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to be mechal Shabbos for this mitzvah. We may farsim how important mila is. So is that his reason? Is it mishum chaviv mitzvah, or is it just because people shouldn't be chayshin him? So the question is, would you be allowed to just put it in your pocket if you had witnesses? Or is you, no, you have to keep it open if you can, unless it's dangerous. So so then he's telling you, you must leave it open, because otherwise you're not showing people the great chashivas of mila. And the only issue is, and you just meant to say, well, you know, either it's open or you need to have people spread the word that it wasn't anything but a mila knife. So then even if it was mechus, it would be perfectly okay. My Omar Rabbi Levi, look, it's clear that Rabbi Eliezer only did his idea of keeping it open because of chavivus. And indeed, Tanya Amihochi, we have a braita that says that beferish. Mevio migule, you have to have it open if you can. You're not allowed to bring it because then you lose the value of the special chivuve mitzvah. Tanya Nami Yochi, Mevio Megulavena Mevio Mechuse, Divribeliezer. Ravashi, look, I mean, I don't know why you need a bright. I mean, isn't it clear from the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, B'sha'ata Sakana, you're allowed to bring it covered with Edim. And that's telling you only if it's B'sha'ata Sakana. If it's not B'sha'ata Sakana, you're not supposed to bring it Mechuse. I think that's enough of a deal. Shmamina. That the whole point is mishum chavuve mitzvah shemamina. Tanya idach mevio migula the in mevio mechuse. So now we have another brayta that expands on this, And that is, it expands by telling us Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, that Noagim Hoyu B'Sha'at HaSakana, Shayu Mevim Mechusel Pi Edim. And now, question is, when you say Edim, what exactly do you mean? Do you mean you need two other witnesses? Or do we mean that there should be you and somebody else so that you're not on your own? I mean, because look, there's no din over here that has to be real Edus, right? I mean, there's no moment that's involved. There's no being Matir and Isha. There's no purpose in having Edim. The point is that it should get around that it was a Sakin Shamila. That's all. So does it mean literally Edim? Or does it mean just have a guy with you so that there's two people, meaning you and the other guy? Or does it mean literally he plus two other Edim? Well, I mean, the Lashon HaMishnah is B'Sakana. You cover it in front of witnesses. I mean, so that means that there's you and two witnesses. I mean, what do you mean in front of witnesses? Where's the witnesses? So Bishlama, if you're going to tell me it means he and two other people, then that language is appropriate. If you're going to tell me he's included, so what do you mean in front of witnesses? I mean, he's not a witness. So what are you saying, witnesses? I mean, witnesses by definition, someone who is not personally involved in the issue, right? So how would you say witnesses? No, because I could still say that the issue would be Edim Shuru'uyim La'id B'Makom Acher. In other words, people that there would be two people, which if he weren't personally involved, he would actually be able to be a witness. By the way, there's some who learn from this. This is not a loose use of the word Edim. What it means is that, let's say, you would not be able to use a relative, right? Because then the two of you couldn't have gotten together in another Edus. It's not just a general term of Edus. I mean, is this specifically, you've got to have people that would have been seen as reliable in another case. Over here, fine, you don't literally need two Edim. Furthermore, Omer Reb Elazar, so in other words, Reb Eliezer, that there's no limit to the number of steps before of Makshirei Mitzvah that are all considered to be Makshirei Mitzvah. Tana Rabbana. This was said, halacha l'maaseh is not just a psak, a theoretical psak, and the fact is that where Reb Eliezer was the Rav, they actually used to do this. If they forgot it, Bayu Kortim Eitzim, Lasot Chamim, Lasot Barzel, they went all the way back to cutting down trees, making charcoal to make the fire, to make the steel, and so on. And you should know that when Reb Yossi Aglili paskened that the din of Basar B'Cholov does not apply to birds because there's no mother. It says B'Chalev Imo. There's no Chalev Eim, obviously, in a non-mammal. So it wasn't just that was theory. In his town, they actually used to cook chicken and milk. And that was a perfectly wonderful dish for Shabbos. In fact, Levi once came to visit Rabbi Yosef, the Beis Yosef, who was a famous trapper. And they had all kinds of delicious oaf meals. And they brought him a peacock head that had been boiled in milk. I mean, obviously, he didn't eat it. But when he came back and he told Rebbe the story, Rebbe said, what? What do you mean? You should have put him into Cherem. What's going on over there? So Levi said, I couldn't do that because, look, I mean, the Rav over there is Rebbe Yehuda ben Matera. And I don't know what the deal was. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda ben Matera had been derished the way the Rebbe Yossi Aglili holds, because the Tanan Rebbe Yossi Aglili Omer, Ne'emar lo tochlu kol nevela. On the surface, the Pasuk puts together the din of Bisho Basar B'Cholov together with Achilas Nevela, right? It says, lo t'bashog adi b'chalev imo. So then that would mean that whatever would be Osir Mishum Nevela would also be Osir Levasho B'Cholov. Otherwise, what is the interrelationship between the two things? But if that's the case, then you would be forced to conclude that then the same thing would be true of a bird, because the truth is that it's Osir Mishum Nevela, right? So Oaf, therefore, Shasir Mishum Nevela, you might think that even is included in the Yisr Bisho B'Cholov. No, that's why it specifies B'Chalev Imo, Dafka, an Oaf that is not Chalev, doesn't have it, is Dafka not included. Omer B'Yitzchak, you should know there was a city in Eretz Yisrael where they did everything Alibin Reb Eliezer. And because of this, Mila Bismano was always extremely choviv. They did whatever was necessary to be matir, the Mila Bismano, again, even to go back and be koret etzim and so on. And in that town, no one ever died prematurely. So there was, nobody ever became terminally ill. People died of old age. Not only that, there was once where the Romans had made a gezeira against Mila all over Eretz Yisrael. And that city, they didn't make the Isra Mila, which was amazing because everybody understood that that was only because of the tremendous chavivus of Mila that that city had been megala. So Minash HaMayim, there was a Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. If you're talking about the chavivus of Mila, you should know that kol mitzvah shekiblo aleim besimcha, wherever Klal Yisrael took on a mitzvah with happiness, and happiness, Rashi says, means that they made a party. They made a seudah. So we find that Avram Avinu made a seudah for the Mila of Yitzchak. So Tosfos says this is the drosha of Biyom Higamel et Yitzchak, also means Biyom Hey Gimel Mal et Yitzchak. So on the eighth day, he was Mal Yitzchak, and he was Oisa Seuda. He made this big Seuda Biyom Hey Gimel when he was Mal et Yitzchak. So that's a sign of Simcha. So wherever Klal Yisrael accepted a mitzvah, the Simcha, that mitzvah stuck with them. And therefore, they still, Adayin Osim Ota B'Simcha, people still make a tremendous. That even today, right, we're in the middle of Corona, the government's got to make special dinim that people are allowed to go to a bris mila because nobody's going to listen to you about skipping out on the sud of a bris mila. But, and we find this in the pasuk, it says, "Sas anochi alimratecha kimotzei shalal rav." Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak specific words outside of the nature of Kol HaTorah Kula? With the mitzvah of mila. Where he spoke to Avram Avinu and he spoke out Mila. So there was this tremendous sasanoch. Of course, you remember we had the Gemara about Dovin HaMelech, who was so happy because of Mila, because there was no other mitzvah that he could have with him at all times and under all circumstances. So he was very depressed once when he was in the bathhouse. And then he remembered, what's the problem? I'm always special because of Mila. So because of that, Adayin Osino Tapasimcha, but Kol Mitzvah, where initially, when the mitzvah was given, people were miserable about it. Shekiblu alim biktata, let's say by arayot. It says, Vayishma amet Moshe ta'am bochel mishpachotav al iskei mishpachotav. So everybody was miserable that all of a sudden, all of the people that I love the best, I'm not allowed to sleep with. That's crazy. So because of that, adayin osino tabiktata. So there's still problems. Where the problems expressed? Because at every wedding negotiation, where you're working, trying to work out a prenup, which of course in Klal Yisrael's terms is called a ketuvah, let ketuvah, the lo rama by tigra. Have you ever heard of any marriage that the in-laws don't get into fights over about what it's about? Why is there so much fighting, for God's sake? Because nobody likes the whole idea of this exogamic mating. It's ridiculous on the surface, as the Ramban points out. So because of that, all right, we'll do it, but damn if we like it. Okay, so it's amazing that it remained that way. You never find it otherwise. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, kol mitzvah shemasri Yisrael atzman aleihem lemita, if people were meiser nefesh and ready to die for it, b'shat gezirat ha-malchut, when the government threatens Yisrael that if they do it, they're going to be killed, let's say avodas kochavim or bris mila, that they never gave in. So everybody still does Mila. And the few crazies that don't do Mila are really looked at as crazy. For instance, tefillin. People are meiser nefesh to wear tefillin. And because of that, tefillin is not a very powerful mitzvah among people. And it's a dayani merupavi adam. The Amr of Yanai. I'll show you. That, I mean, you could see very clearly, says the Gemara, I'll show you from Rabbi Yanai, that tefillin was not something that was common, and it also was not something that people were meiser nefesh for. Because when we're looking for a model for how to wear tefillin, so we got to find this guy, Elisha Ba'al HaKnafayim, remember the story, and you have to have a clean body so that you have to be careful not to release gas or not to fall asleep in them. They maybe will be Raya Kerry. And you have to be careful with your tefillin. So what was the maisa? What do we mean, first of all, a clean body? Rav Amar Shelo Yishan Behem. And why did they call this? So that means, I mean, if you got to find one guy that's going to be a model for a clean body, I mean, obviously it wasn't the standard practice. Everybody was careful and knew what it was to wear tefillin. And why did they call this guy Elisha Balaknafayim? And this is the Gilui that Klal Yisrael was not normally Meister Nefesh for tefillin, because they called the guy the Elisha Balaknafayim, because once upon a time there was this terrible gezerah from the Romans against wearing tefillin, that anybody who wears tefillin on his head, they're going to take the place of the tefillin and they're going to dig out his brain from right under the tefillin. So Elisha was the only guy, apparently, that was Meniach tefillin. And he wore tefillin and he went out into the marketplace and he said, the heck with the Romans. And one day this policeman sees him. And so Elisha starts running and the guy's running after him. Okay, boy, what you got there? Kimonji, yeah, it's slow. So when he catches up with him, so he grabs a tefillin and he puts it in his hand. The guy says, open up your hand. What do you got? So, what do you mean, what do I got? I've got Kanfei Yonah. Sure enough, he opens up his hands, and they find wings, pigeon wings in there, dove's wings in there. And because of that nace, they called him Elisha Balaknafayim. So you see from there that the idea is that this nace was done for him. So it's got to be that he was the one, and he was specifically, he was the one that was Meister Nefesh. Tosus learns just the opposite. It's the fact that he wasn't Meister Nefesh. If the point is that you're trying to go out and to refuse the Chilul Hashem, which is involved in giving in to the Romans, just because they say don't wear tefillin, so then he should have worn the tefillin and said to the guy, go ahead and shoot me, you jerk. Because, and therefore, since he didn't do that, he tried to save himself. So we see that even Elisha Balaknafayim was not really Moser Nefesh for his tefillin. Anyway, that's how Tosfos learns it. One of the Shittas in Tosfos. Ma'ashna kanfiyayna de'amalei. Why did he choose, like, the weirdest thing of all crazy things to say you have in your hand? Why is he calling it Kanfiyona? He could have said any kind of bird. No, he wants to say a bird for some reason. I mean, he could have said, I don't know, I'm carrying my Air Force wings, you know? Why does he have to say the Kanfiyona? Mishum Nadami Knesset Yisrael Yona. Point is that since the Torah says Kanfiyona Nechbava Kesev, so Klal Yisrael, this is a remes to Klal Yisrael and Tehillim. And why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu look at us as having the wings of a dove that are all covered with silver and the muscles are shining and their pinions are shining in gold? Because that teaches us that just like a yonah, the knafeah are meginyot aleha, Rashi learns that this means that the yonah doesn't fight with its beak. It fights by banging its wings against anybody trying to attack it. Af Yisrael mitzvot meginot aleha. Because of that, he needed, obviously, at that moment, a nes, which would come b'schus the mitzvah. So he was trying to say, the mitzvahs will save me. That's why he said kanfiyona, which is brilliant. Anyway, Abba Barabada, Amrav Yitzchak, there was once getting back to the Maisa of Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that in his town, they used to bring it through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. Now listen, I gotta tell you, there's a major problem with this. And there's really two shitas in the Tosfos about the whole issue. Because look, you gotta ask yourself, assuming that you hold, I mean, this is an assumption, it's really machlokas rishonim, but as Tosfos raises the issue, assuming that you hold, that hachai nosei et atzmo would apply even to a human infant, right? So why would Rabbi Eliezer say that you can bring the knife through a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Why not bring the baby to the knife instead of the knife to the baby? So it's an old question that Muhammad, I think, thought of. So why in the world would he say that you could go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos to carry the knife? So there's really two approaches, and there might need to be a third approach, which will address other issues later. And that is, one approach is that, well, it's not going to help you very much because after the baby suffers through Mila, so then he's considered to be a chole. Now, chole is not nosi et atzmo. So you're going to have to bring the baby back to mommy anyway. So you might as well bring the knife to the baby instead of the baby to mommy. Okay. The other shot is, does it suggest that maybe any kind of delay is not really acceptable. And for us to prepare the baby to take him out, that's going to be much more of a schlep. And because of that, it's going to delay the meal. And we're going to see that issue later on in the story that's about to begin. Uh-oh, Mordechai. mute, please. So the idea over there is, if you've got an option, so let's say that you could carry, we're going to see that there were options. If you could manage to get the knife by only doing an issur d'rabbanan, right? So there's different ways of carrying. You can only do an issur d'rabbanan, maybe to carry it over the rooftops, whatever. So is there an issue to avoid the d'oraisa by doing the d'rabbanan? And the Gemara says beferish that Rabbi Eliezer was against that. Why would he be against it? I mean, if you can do it without being over, why would he say you should bedafka be over? So again, so over there, one suggestion is exactly this point, that the fastest way is basically the straight line through the Jezeramis, who start climbing the stairs, going over the rooftops, going back down through the Chatzeros and so on. That is going to delay it. And Rabbi Eliezer holds, look, Ter gave you a mitzvah, you go do the mitzvahs as quickly as possible. It's part of the mitzvah. But, you know, the other issue is, when a mitzvah is it given in terms of a norm? So, I mean, if it's given in terms of a norm, then it's telling you, I want you to do milah, no matter what you're going to need to do in order to do this milah, which is the way the Rabbi Eliezer understands it. So then the norm is mechayev, doing things normally. That's the point. Let's say the Torah says, you're mechayev to have children. Can you be yotze the chayev to have children by donating sperm to a sperm bank and assuming that you'll have children that way? Or does included in that mitzvah is have children the way people normally have children? So, I mean, if the idea is that a mitzvah is meant to be contextually understood in terms of norms, so then all of this would be crazy in Rebbe Eliezer. Now, the Tosfos on Amud Beis actually questions the issue, because, like, where would we get it from that you would be allowed to do something, which I assume is begeter esedocha losase or something like that, if there are alternatives? Since the general rule, I mean, you can't literally say esedocha losase over here, obviously, because Shabbos is not say and losase and so on. But the idea is that generally, if we're going to be docha something, you're docha something because there's no alternative. And where would we come up with this idea that even if there is an alternative, that we're supposed to be doing it? That we sort of leaves that question hanging. Okay, so therefore, I'm suggesting that there may be three different approaches to the problem. Anyway, Amrav Abba Bar Avada, Amrav Yitzchak, Maisa was that they once forgot to bring the Ismael on Erev Shabbos, and on Shabbos they brought it, but they brought it dafka by going through the various rooftops and the courtyards that were on the way between the two homes, and because of that, it was Shalobert's on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer did not like that. He was against it. Matki for Rav Yosef. What do you mean? Shalobert's on Rabbi Eliezer. On the contrary, Rabbi Eliezer is the guy that says you're allowed to go and bring it. I mean, are you trying to tell me that Rav Abba means to say that it was not Barutz and Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer said, no, you should be going through Rosh Hashanah like a mensch, and because the same way I said that you're supposed to keep it open, so do it correctly. Maybe that's the point. Then tell me, it was not Lefi Rabbi Eliezer, but it was Barutz and the Chachomim? The Chachomim say you're allowed to do it? Where do the Chachomim say you're allowed to do it? They don't allow you to go through Derech Gagog, Derech Hatzerot, Derech Karfefot, Umi Shori. Did the Rabbanan say you're allowed to be over on Nisid Rabbanan for Makshira Mila? Where did they say such a thing? Vatanya and the Bright, it says just the opposite. It says that the Chachomim say, in the same way that you're not allowed to bring Derech Rosh Hasharabim, you're not allowed to be over on Nisid Rabbanan where you didn't make an Erev, and carry a Derech Gagot to Derech Karfefot, to Derech Hatzirot? Absolutely not. And so, what are you telling me it was Shalom Barutz and Rabbi Eliezer, but it was Barutz and the Chachomim? It was not Barutz and the Chachomim. I don't understand then what it means. Hela Amar Rav Ashi. What it was that Rav Abba meant to say was that what they did was connected everybody that was connected to Rebbe Eliezer. It wasn't going like Rebbe Eliezer, and it wasn't going like those who were chaylik on Rebbe Eliezer, but it was going according to Rebbe Shimon. Who's that? Rebbe Shimon is the one who says that echad gagot, ve'echad karfefot, ve'echad chatzerot are all considered to be reshut achat. So in other words, the din that there is a chiv to make an eruv, how does that work? Basically, each home is considered to be a separate reshus, even though it's all reshus hayachid. So if you want to carry out from your home to another guy's home, you have to make an eruv with him. And even if you want to carry out from your home into a combined rishus, where you have all of the people of the various homes that are opening into common yard, using that yard, which is called a chatzar. Well, you can't do that, because then you're going from rishus hayochid, which is yours, into a mixed rishus, which is like a rishus harabim, right? So the Chachamim gave a new halacha, remember, called diurim. The person who lives in the rishus gives a shame to the rishus. Now, the question is, does he give the shame of the rishus to a house, or does he also give the shame of rishus to his rooftop, to his yard, to his backyard, the karfaf, which is a big enclosed space, but nobody lives in it? Now that is a big machlokas. It's actually a three-way machlokas. We'll get to Erevin. Which type of rishus are considered to be the equivalent of a separate rishus because of separate ownership? But in any event, Rabbi Shimon is dafka, the one who says that anything besides an actual house is not given that chashivas b'derabanan as having a diur in it. So in other words, one guy's backyard and another guy's backyard are all the same, because it's not something that's meant for living. The top of the roof of one guy's house, you're allowed to carry from the top of the roof of your side of the apartment building to the top of the roof of the other side of the apartment building, and there's no problem in that. And as a matter of fact, carrying from the roof and throwing something into a guy's backyard or into the front yard, or going from one guy's front yard to another guy's backyard, it's all one rishus because it's okashivas of diur. So therefore, according to him, as long as the thing did not come from the house, so in other words, something was left outside. And that was the case that we had when we were missing the knife for the mila. The knife had been left outside in the yard. And because of that, it did not need to be carried derek rishus harabim. And so it was carried from one guy's yard to the next guy's yard. Then they crossed over with a guy whose roof went across the street and whatever. And that's how we got it there. But we ain't okinami, not allowed to bring it into a house or bring it out of a house. So it has to be kelim sheshavtu b'tocham, things that were outdoors, either on the roof or in the chutz or whatever, but not for kelim that were in the house, because the house, dafka, is the one place that you're not allowed to carry out of, because there it does have the urim. So that's who we were going like. When we said shelo baratzin Rebbe Eliezer, we meant anybody. Not the Chachamim, because they held that even if you did it min Rabbanan, it's still usher. And not Rabbi Eliezer, who holds, would you schlep around going through a Rabbanan when you could have done the D'oraisa and gotten there faster? Boimine Rabbi Zera mi Rabbi Asi. One thing which I don't know would be, what would be the din of a mavui? Now, in a mavui, remember that a mavui is something like the relationship of the mixed chotzer, where everybody goes out of their house into the front yard. Something like that relationship, which requires an Eruv, is the relationship of the various chatzerot. So let's say you have five homes opening up into a chatzer, and then you've got five chatzerot opening up into an alleyway. And this alley, and there are different sides of the alleyway, and this alleyway goes into Rishus HaRabim on the other end, and it's open. We talked about this before, about the lechi, what's the tikkun of the mavei? Do you need two lechis, one lechi, a lechi nekora, and so on and so forth. Okay, that will get to an Eruv. But my question is this. The relationship of chatzer to mavo is equivalent to the relationship of house to chatzer, right? Now, the Rabbanan created a vehicle which is called an Eruv when it comes to making all of the homes be considered to be all of one home. They also created an equivalent mechanism, which is just many dinim that are similar. Again, we'll get to the prate dinim when we get to Erevin, between the chatzerot, which can join up with each other to allow you to carry from any chotzer into the mavur. So that is also, that's called shituf mevaot. How about if you did not make a shituf mevaot? So what would be the din of carrying within the mavur? So in other words, if you have something that was left in the chotzer, so you're allowed to carry it around the chotzer, that's not called the chotzer, it's still called rishus hayochid. Is that true about in the mavoi? So in other words, if you had left a knife in the mavoi, you could carry it from one end of the mavoi to the other end of the mavoi, even though you did not have a sheet of mavoot, because the mavoi is, as we said, to the chatzerot, what the chatzer is to the bayin. Or is there a difference? What would be the basis of the difference? So Mi'amrina kechatzer dami, do we say, okay, so it's the same relationship. Just like something that was in the chatzer, something that was there before Shabbos can be carried from one end of the chatzer to the other end of the chatzer, even though there was no Erev, and it's mutter l'talta b'kula. So in the Mov, it's exactly the same. Even though you never made a sheet of Mva'od, for something that was left in the Mov, you could carry it from one end of the Mov to the other. Or perhaps it's different, because a chatzer, first of all, always has four walls. And a mavoi always has one wall that's open to the Rosh Hasharabim. And therefore, it's more similar to Rosh Hasharabim. Perhaps they assert carrying in a mavoi because of its similarity to carrying Arba Amas in Rosh Hasharabim. That's one reason. That is another reason that I could imagine that there would be a problem in carrying a mavoi far beyond our concerns for carrying in a chatzer. And that's because a chatzer has people that live there. In other words, they use that chatzer all the time. So it feels like it's a private area. But a mavoi is only used for people passing through, basically, sort of bringing their car in, parking in front of the house, whatever. But that doesn't feel like a private rishos. So because of that also, it has a very profound psychological difference to me. And if I would be allowed to carry from one end of the mavoi to the other, I might easily carry from the mavoi into Rosh Hasharabim too, or carry once in Rosh Hasharabim outside of Arba Amas. So what's the din? So actually, Rav Asi didn't have an answer. Shartik v'lo amar le v'lo midi, he didn't say anything. Now, there was a time at some other point where Rabbi Zera bumps into Rav Asi, and Rabbi Asi is sitting and he's teaching and he's telling over this following mind. And he says, Omer b'shem elokrish b'shem Rav Yudah ha-Nasi, that once they forgot the Ismael, and it was, they didn't do it on Erev Shabbos, but they did it on Shabbos. And the Chachomim were so upset. Why did they bring it in Shabbos? That would mean that they were paskening like Rabbi Eliezer, and they went against the Das of the Rov. How could people do such a thing? Don't we pasken like the Rabbin? And there's another problem also. I mean, first, Rabbi Eliezer is Shamuti. Shamuti, there's always two major pshatim. Nirushami, the meaning of Shamuti, is that he was from Beit Shammai. So because of that, he's psukim were generally seen as not the psukim that we follow, because he paskin always like Beit Shammai. In the Bavli, we generally understand Shamuti as being the problem of his having been put into Cherem because of the Tanur Shel Achnai and so on. And besides which, I mean, even if there was no particular problem with paskin like Rebbe Eliezer, I mean, he's a Yachid. And Yachid v'Rabim, Halacha k'Rabim, how did they do that? And Omer Rabbi Hoshaya, that Rabbi Shaya said, everybody was upset about this. And I asked, Rabbi Yehuda was a famous mael. He was called Rabbi Yehuda HaGozer, the cutter man, because he was a mael. And he told me, this story, you don't know the story. There was a mavoi that didn't have a sheet of mavoot, okay? And the knife was on one end of the mavoi, and they had to bring it to the mavoi to the other end of the mavoi. That was the story. So it had nothing to do with the machlokas Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim, okay? So you see from here, by the way, that means that you are allowed to carry an mavoi. So Rabbi Zera said, wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that you hold that you're allowed in a mavoi shalonish tatfu, you're allowed to take it from one end to the other end? Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Well, what the heck? I asked you that question. And you said you have no idea and you refuse to answer me. You don't know. How come all of a sudden I happen to wander around and now you're telling me like it's the most obvious thing in the world that that's the psak? Why didn't you tell me that that's the psak? I mean, is it because Dilma Agav Shitfach Riat Lach Gemarach? Could it be because of the flow? It's amazing. We talked about this before. We had the same lesson earlier. Is it because of your flow that you were flowing along? Literally, Shitfach is a flow of water. So then things just kept running in a natural way. Of course, it's a psychological phenomena called flow. So was it because of flow? Omer Lahin, yes, it's exactly what happened. When you asked me, I couldn't figure it out. But like, as long as I was allowed to just flow with the sugya, I knew this. So Agav Shitfa, Rehita Ligamari. Anyway, Itmar from Rabbi Zera himself, Rabbi Zera Paskin from Rav, that Mova Shalonish Tatfubo, you're only allowed to be Metatal Arba Amos. You're not allowed to carry from one end to the other. And in fact, we treat it like a Rosh Hasharabim. Om Rabbaya, well, Rabbi Zera said this, but he did not explain all of the details that he said it was mashma, no matter what. But the truth is, Rabbi Baravua came along and he explained it much more detailed. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabbi Baravua, and he was quoting the same sack of Rab, but he gave us more detail. He said, a mavoi shalonishtatfu bo, if there was no shitif in the mavoi, then we need to look at the situation of the chatzerot, because that's going to make a major difference in how we deal with the halacha of the mavoi. In the event that all of those chatzerot, they had all made an erev chatzeros, and that means that they made an erev chatzeros between themselves, so and that way they would be allowed to carry not only from their houses into the chatzer, but they also made an erev, because they had, like, we'll see in the Gemara, an erev, and they had like little windows between the walls, and they were able to make an erev between the various chatzerot so that they could pass cholent from one guy's chatzer to another guy's chatzer, and he would be able to share his kugel with the guy next door, and so on and so forth. So then the halacha was that if there was a erev, then you cannot be metaltel outside of Arba Amos. But if there was not an erev in between the various homes and the different chatzeres, then you are allowed to be metalta from one end of the mavoi to another. Whoa. Wow. What would be the basis of that? So we'll start with the basis, which, but I don't want to continue on into the details. I want to have time to do with you our review on Kalim. But Omele Rav Chanina Chozol Rabba. Now, I understand the logic to be based as following. In other words, and therefore, I've got a problem. So, Maishno, why are we saying that if the Chatzeros did make an Erev with the Batim, then you're not allowed to carry? I'm assuming that the reason is that there are no longer any Chatzeros. In other words, in terms of the halacha, what's important to recognize is that a mavui that does not have chatzerot with separate batim that are open into the mavui does not have a din of a mavui. So if there's one guy and there's only one house in that chatzer, and there's another chatzer, there's only one house in that chatzer, that's not a mavui. You cannot make a sheet of a mavui in that fashion. So in this case, halakhically, what you did is you wiped out the distinction between the individual homes, correct? Because you made an erev between all of the homes. And now everybody's basically looked at as one house and one chatzer. Well, a mavoi with only one house is not considered to be a mavoi. And because of that, it doesn't have any of the heterei mavoi, and you would not be allowed to carry within it. That's what I'm assuming, because nitchu chatzerot, the chatzerot basically have been transformed into homes because they have no, there's no legal sense of there being a chatzer as opposed to there being a home, because the Erev undid their status of chatzerism. And therefore, there's no chatzer to be matir in the Navi. And this would be Rav. This is Rav's psak, because this is Rav Shita. Rav Shita always is that ein amavoi nitar, belechi v'kora, you cannot bechalal be matir, even carrying within the mavoi, which is either the lechi or the korah, which we spoke about. The korah goes across the entrance, the lechi goes around the side of the entrance. But you're only allowed to use that rabbanan tikkun in the event that it follows the normative definition of a mavi, which is that you need batim v'chatzerot petuchom petuchin l'tocho. So it has to be a mavi that is the way to get from at least two chatzeros, each one of which contains at least two houses, and you don't have that over here because you flipped the chatzerot, and there are no chatzerot anymore. Fine. So if that's the case, you can't carry the mavoi. I'm going to ask you tomorrow, based on that, even if there was no erev, it should be the same problem, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.